Halacha is simple. This is my native tongue. The section, you know, the parsha, Afaram Yehi Dovi Vayered Mitzroimo, the text in which the pilgrim of old used to recite on the occasion of Avoad Bikurim, offering the first fruit of his land in the sanctuary in the Beis HaMikdash. This text was integrated into the Agode as a central motif, as a central pillar. Everything else in the Agode was structured around the parsha, the section, and around the Evedon. It would appear, from studying the Mishneh, the Rambam, as if the recital of Arami Evedovi were indispensable for the full, perfect implementation of the mitzvah, of the commandment of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, to tell the story of the Exodus on the 15th night of Nisan. As if this parsha, this section, formed the very core, the very substance of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the question is simple, why? What prompted Chazal or rabbis to borrow the parsha of Arami Evedovi and integrate the latter into the Agode and simply structure everything else around that parsha? Apparently, the recital of the parsha by the pilgrim constituted an act of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The pilgrim was duty bound not just to recite a text, but to tell the story of the Exodus of Yetzias Mitzrayim. If I should use halachic lingo, I would say the following. The commandment to tell the story of Mitzrayim, of the Exodus, is binding upon a Jew on two occasions. One, when he offers the Bikurim in the sanctuary. Second, on the 15th night of Nisan. But it is an identical performance. The recital of the parshas we call micro Bikurim is not just a recital of a text, but it is the narrating of the events which occurred in Mitzrayim, and it is substantially, essentially, conceptually a performance of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Torah did not specify the text we are supposed to use on the first night of Nisan. She stated in general terms the Gadot HaLevuchot. However, she did point out the text which is to be read in Beis HaMikdash at the time of Avoaz Bikurim. Ve'onisa v'marto lifnei Hashem Elokecho Arami Evedovi, etc., etc. The conclusion is a simple one. If this parsha, Arami Evedovi, was recommended by the Torah as the exclusive text to be read in order to fulfill the commandment of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is incumbent upon the pilgrim who brought, who offered Bikurim to the Almighty. Then there is a good reason to assume that the narration of the first and the first night of Passover should avail itself of the same text. In both cases, we were commanded to tell the story of the Exodus of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Isn't it a case of A equals B, B equals C, that A equals C? Don't be discouraged, I'll come to you. I'll warm up. But for the time being, you have to tolerate the halachic philosophy which prevailed here. Then, the common root of both, of Arami Vedori, which is recited on the occasion of Avoaz Bikurim, of offering the first fruit to the Lord, and the Agada, the common root of both, is to be found in one norm, namely that of a chorus table, of gratitude and thanksgiving. Maimonides, as well as the author of the Chinuch, the Rambam, emphasized, Maimonides not only Mere Nevuchim, but also in Sefer HaMitzvot, emphasized that the very essence of both mitzvot, of the mitzvot Mikro Bikurim and Sipur Yedah Godel, the very essence, consists in experiencing and expressing a sense of gratitude to the Almighty. The nation as a whole, the average Jew, on the 15th day of Nisan, and the pilgrim on the occasion of his offering the first fruit in the Beis HaMikdash, we are duty-bound to extol and praise the Almighty on both occasions. There is a common root by which both mitzvahs are nurtured, and that common root is the duty to acknowledge kindness and to give thanks. As a matter of fact, it's just plain habit on my part to say the Rambam and the Chinuch are said. I mean, we state it in the Agave. Rechichoch anachmecha yorim lehidis lahal. V'neim alifon av shiro chadosho haluko. The whole purpose, describing the events and telling the story of the Exodus, is in order to give thanks to the Almighty. And as far as Mikro Bikurim is concerned, there is a pasuk in the section of Mikro Bikurim in Kesave, which is a very difficult one. Higadeti hayeinu adishem rekecho kibosi alo oretz. What does mean higadeti hayeinu? I do state, today that I've come to the land, that I've inherited the land, it doesn't have to state it, I mean. So Targum Yenis in Venezuel says that Igadati has the semantics of being thankful, appreciative, indebted, of a chorus table. I give thanks to the Lord by God that I have inherited the land which He promised to our ancestors. It got it in, not in the sense of telling, narrating, stating, saying, I mean, it makes very little sense in context of the Pasuk in Parashat Kisavim, what equality in the sense of Ani Mishabeach, I praise, I extol, I glorify, and so forth. And a matter of fact, there is a suggestion, I mean, I'm not subscribing to it, but there is a suggestion and which merits our attention, that the word Agada means Shevach. Not the God as story, but means Hallel. The God is a Yid, and Hashem Elokecho, He was the Elohim. It makes a lot of sense. Otherwise, this book could have been called Sipur. Why only Agada? The God is a Levincho, it's Ramat a Levincho. We have also the expression, the man disciple goes with Bilcho, when Bilcho is a Shreshul Alpin of Mitzrayim. So the Torah used many synonyms with regard to the story of the Tzias Mitzrayim. There is no reason why the book, the official book on the Tzias Mitzrayim, should be called the Agada, unless you accept Yinus and Benazil's interpretation of the word Agada as praise or glorification of an expression of thanks. So that's why our rabbis have introduced the same text on the night of Passover, since the root of the mitzvah is one, namely, Haggadah. We've got it the Hayim Radeshem Rekecho, we've got it on the Yom. At this juncture, right here, I wish to pick up the main topic of my shiur tonight. The topic of my shiur, I mean, I didn't see the car. But the topic of my shiur is 9 aspects. We will count whether it be 9, 10, or perhaps 8. I'm not sure. But in that vicinity, between 8 and 10, the 9 will settle for 9. Sorry, compromise. The 9 basic aspects of the Agada. For purely pedagogical, juristic reasons, I'm doing this analysis within the context of a comparative study of Agada, a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim recited by a Jew Pesach night, and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim recited by the pilgrim of old in the Beis Hamikdash. I believe that the comparative, within the context of a comparative study, I'll succeed not only in comparing both commandments, but also in contrasting them, to see the differences and the similarities. Let us now take up the first aspect of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we fulfill on the night of Pesach. And the problem and its relationship to the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which the pilgrim used to fulfill. As far as the first aspect is concerned, and what is the first aspect? But I wouldn't ask about the tenth, but about the first I may ask. The first is simple. What is the first aspect, the halachic aspect of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? The first one, very beginning, the most elementary one, what is it? Oh, you are going to read to me, Kaddish Vechad? I've forgotten it already. No, you have me wrong. You. What is the first halachic conceptual aspect? What should a Jew do in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the Kaddish Vechad? What is the most primitive approach to it? It's not so primitive, but not the most elementary approach. Yeah, what is it? What is it? Give me a definition. Let us divide the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim into 9 parts. What's the first part? what? No. To somebody said it, what I... To say it! The first mitzvah, you say, what is the first aspect, the most elementary? The simplest aspect of Tzchiras Yetzias, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Seder, is Sipur. I mean, what is Sipur? But Sipur is a very dangerous word in this context. I'll tell you. When you say Sipur, it means it can be my own literary creation. I'm Baruch Hashem literary talented, so why shouldn't I write in Agore? Some people try, have tried, are still trying. So why not my own Sipur? I'll follow the guidance of tradition, but my own work. This is exactly why Arami Medobe was introduced. You tell it in the lingo of the scripture. If some people didn't understand it here, what I meant, I'll try, you have to tell it in this language as Torah Sebeksav. You don't kid. You don't write a story of Exodus of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The story which is told, the text which was fixed, the sentences, and the words which were standardized, they should be repeated and read. Reading, kriya. If you want, you can call it amira, but I would prefer the word kriya to amira. Kriya, to read, not your own creation. But a parsha, a section of Torah Shebiksav. At this stage, or at this phase, when we say Agada, what do you understand by Agada? What do you understand by Agada at this phase? Reading of a certain fixed, standardized text. It means in Torah Shebiksav. And the text to be read was chosen by Chazal as the Parshas Arami Evedori. So you need a text, a holy text, a text of Torah Shebiksav, and this, and what I could read the Parshas Meis, and the Eiro, it's a beautiful description of the events. There are more details than in Arami Evedori. No, but that I can do. Not only must it be a text of Torah Shebiksav, the text is fixed, standardized, namely, with text, Arami Evedori, which does not, which I can't find in Shmeis, in the Sefer Agulah, in the Book of Redemption, but I have to search for it. And finally, if I have patience, I'll find it at the end of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah in Parshas Kesavim. As far as this is concerned, as that the first aspect of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to read, and I would prefer Kriya to Amiro, I would also prefer Kriya to Agodot in this regard, because Kriya means you read the text. Is with regard to that, so Mikro Bikurim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim are almost identical. Whatever you read at Mikro Bikurim, you are supposed to read at the Seder. However, the identity of Mikro Bikurim and Agode ends here, at the first aspect. Kriya is only the first aspect of Agode. There are eight more aspects of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Do those aspects apply to microbiculum as well, or they don't apply at all? They're completely different. That's what we will see. Can we discover in microbiculum those dimensions which are so characteristic of the agar? I doubt it very much. And let me analyze those aspects. What aspect do we have? Name of what? What's the first aspect? Tria. Tria means Tria Saparsha, which was fixed and standardized by Chazal. As far as microbiculum is concerned, that's all which the Torah has required of the pilgrim who brought the Bikurim. Just reading. And only reading, nothing else. There was no need for the pilgrim who brought the Bikurim to explain what he read, to reflect upon what he read, to interpret. He just had to do mechanical reading, nothing else. However, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Passover night consists not only of recycling of a text, but, as I said it so many times, you see here, I at least spoken 25 times about Agar. And now you want me to invent something new. Whatever I said in previous years belongs to you. If I should say it, I'll be accused of plagiarism. All right, let's try. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is basically, it's not homiletics, it is pure, strict halacha. Basically, a mitzvah or an act of Talmud Torah. Of learning in depth. Of exploring the various dimensions of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Of an inquiry. Or, as Chazal call it, Midrash, the Derech v'Derech kol ha-parsha kulo ha-ram yevedo. He interprets the whole parsha. Hence, just reading the text is only one aspect of the mission. Reading does not suffice. One must interpret it. And if you'll know, if you have a goddess, and the boys told me that they have been selling a goddess to you, I mean. So what, how do you handle the Rame Vidal in the parasha? How do you handle this parasha? How do you handle this parasha? You just say, Rame Vidal, a year at Mitzrayma, a year at Shem Seymour, a year at Yisham, a year at Godel Atzim Aron, a year at Yisham at Mitzrayim. We say it fast, quickly. Well, how do you handle the parasha, Rame Vidal? It was integrated in the Sefer Agadah. Fine, how is it handled? What do you do with this parasha? Oh, yes, whoever I got done should tell me. Each word is interpreted, analyzed, semantically analyzed. We are out to find the semantics of each word of the parasha. Melame. And we find those semantics by what? By comparative study. The word in Arame Vedovi is transferred into a different frame of reference of Sefer Shmeis. And by comparing both texts, we draw the proper conclusions. So at the second stage, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim means interpretation of Torah Shebekhtav in terms of Torah Shebaal Peh. Hence, just reading of the text does not suffice. One must interpret it within the framework of the Rosh Baal Peh. In other words, the word Agado, at the second stage, what does it mean? A Torah Shebaal Peh analysis of a Torah Shebiksav text. Torah Shebaal Peh analysis of a Torah Shebiksav, a biblical text. In our case, it is the analysis in terms of semantics, and also in terms of concept of the text of Aram Elidovi in accordance with the 13 principles of Midrash, of Gimel Midrash, of Eran Midrash. As a matter of fact, when the Gemara, when the Talmud in Broches speaks of Torah Shebaal Peh, so that the Talmud divides Torah Shebaal Peh into three categories: Midrash, Mishneh, and Gemara. Midrash means interpretation of Torah Shebaal Peh in accordance with the principles of exegesis and interpretation. There are 13 principles of interpretation. This is Midrash. Next is Mishneh. The Gemara speaks about Mishneh. The Gemara means Mishneh. Mishneh is as well as clear halachic decisions or judgments. Halachic judgments is Mishneh. When the Gemara speaks about, when the Gemara mentions the word Gemara, the Talmud mentions Gemara, what is the Talmud in mind? Of course, the text of the Talmud, but moreover, what do you call to pull a derisa? Means Torah thought, thinking. Creative Torah thinking, what we call svara. Interesting is that in the Agada we have all three groups, both Midrash, Torah Shebaal Peh, Shebiksav, by Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishneh, Alocha Bruro, as well as Gemara. Svara, well, logical thinking. Strict, halachic, thoughts, thinking. Where do you have Midrash? This is the Parsha Sarame Vitkule. Parsha Sarame Vitkule. Where do you have Alochas? Yes, where do you have Alochis? Kosh Mishalom, Ashish, Dvorim Lapesach, Leyotzeh, Dechavasi, correct? But then we say it for a different reason. Vafato em olei kilchus ha-pesach, im aftirin ha-pesach ha-fikuma. Where do you have... Where do you have Gemore? Means the deduction by the logic. Intellectual activity. Mishneh Shebiyam, what? Mishneh Shebiyam? No, Mishneh Shebiyam is Midrash. You mean that the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yisrael Gmili? This is Midrash. This is Midrash. What do you say? No, I would say Midrash. Shalom Charanate, Abdulazam. The quote in other, whenever the Gemara quotes in other texts, so it comes under the category of Midrash. What? Midrash again. Again Midrash. Again Midrash. L'sichoch anach mechayyomim l'hegis l'halam. This is a logical deduction. V'chol deo v'deich ha'erodom l'irish esatzmei ki u'yotzom v'mitzrayim. נאמר ראשון אהי ומשור בנו וראשון אהי לאורס נשבע השם לנשאינו לססלונו. Right. The foundation is Midrash. That in every generation one should experience the exile and the redemption. But the conclusion is not Midrash, but Gemara, it means Svara. Lefichach anach mechayovim leiris ulehale, kol reil nishvas olonu v'lav esveinu anishimayim. Of course, you understand very well that the interpretation of Haggadah as a study in depth, as a midrashic study in depth, or a halachic study in depth, or a logical halachic study in depth, this interpretation is not applicable to Mikra B'Kurim. Mikra B'Kurim is just reading. But Haggadah Shel Pesach starts with reading, of course. He's reading a text, but the reading is converted into a study, into an intellectual activity, into Talmud Eret. Do you have the expression or the verb Haggad in context with Talmud Torah? Correct? Who is Mamre? The thing similar with Yaakov is Saged with Israel. What means Saged? One question to Gideon. What means one question to Gideon? It means you test on the Torah which I give you to the base Israel, and the verb which the Torah uses for the landing, for teaching, and for guiding, study the basis oil, the basis oil, the base oil. All right, this is Haggadah. Haggadah means to study, to learn, to understand. Now, second stage of Haggadah. The third aspect of Haggadah. What's the third aspect of Haggadah? Would somebody suggest it to me? Because we spoke just recently, 5 minutes ago, about logical thinking, about Gemara, Svara. Will somebody use it here and tell me? Just let us repeat. Aspect number one, technical mechanical reading. Aspect number two, teaching, study in depth. Fine, midrash. Now aspect number three. What do you say? I can't hear it. Teaching is correct. The Rambam says, mitzvah le'idiyah le'banim. It is incumbent upon us to tell the story to children. Apparently the Haggadah constitutes not only a study in depth, but also a depth of masero, of passing on, of transmitting. One is obligated to teach and to pass on the story of Mitzrayim. It is an act of Masero Mekabola. And when the body is recited, it is addressed not only to listeners, but also to whom? Not only to listeners. But also to whom? You can be a listener, to students, to disciples, to pupils. One can be a listener, but not be a disciple. Now, God is not only I tell the story, somebody is listening, it's important, but I teach the story, and somebody is being taught. That's exactly what Masero is. Now I would like you to prove it, that I am right in this regard. That a godel at the third stage has the connotation of teaching, and I emphasize not so much, I'm not interested in teaching, as in Maserot, in tradition, transmitting, passing on, giving them. Over from one generation to another, I'm emphasizing that. The Gadol Mirror can be just telling the story, he listens, and I emphasize that I'm not interested in listeners, I'm interested in Talmudic. I'm a Lamed myself, I like to teach, I don't like to tell stories. No, but still not. Well, you mentioned the Chochom already, so what's the use of the Rosh? So you want benefit by introducing the Rosh and the Tamish in the Rosh. Say your mag means my biggest long Aram belongs somewhere else. No. No. There is a funny sentence in the Ragone. Very strange sentence in the Ragone. And you'll find it, if you have an Ragone, you'll find it before the Abor Banu. Just when we are about to speak about the Abor Banu, so a funny sentence, we come across a very strange sentence, whose meaning we don't understand, and if it was introduced, why wasn't it introduced here and not at the beginning of the body? How do you start the story about the four bodies? It's very popular, the four sons, huh? Vorach ha-mokeim, vorachu, vor shenosan teiro lam yisroel keneged ha-mor bonim libroteiro. The whole sentence of vorach ha-mokeim, vorachu, vor shenosan teiro lam yisroel makes no sense. Is out of context. Kneged Abor Bonim Dibrotero, Echot Chochom, Echot Rosho, Echot Tam, Echot Shnidei Elisha. What's the meaning of Boruch Hamokim Boruch Hu, Boruch Shoshetei Olam Yisrael? I mean, by repeating, I'll repeat it again. By mere association, could you remind yourself of something else? By mere association, can you remind yourself of something else? Baruch Hamokim, Baruch Hu, Baruch Masanteir Olam Yisrael. Remind yourself of something. After all, you are young, you have good memories. Baruch Shoma? No, I know Shoma. All right, the $64,000 question. No, the amount is $64,000. What? Just a Josephine, huh? Correct. It's an abbreviation of the Josephine. Abbreviation of the blessings we pronounce every morning, which we call the Josephine, Baruch Ato Adoshon Rechonon Shon Sis Rono Asim Dures Ero, the Arab Nu Adoshon Rechon Dures Rosso Bifinu Bifi Amcha Bifi Israel, ומי אנחנו וצאצאינו, we and our children share. ונעשה, כלומר, לשמחו ולא מתרסכו לשמו. So the ברכות התורה are related not so much to the study of Torah, but to teaching of Torah, particularly to the act of Torah, of transmitting Torah, of passing on. ומי אנחנו וצאצאינו וצאצא עמכו בית ישראל, כולנו יהיה לשמחו ולאם תשרצחו לשמו, and the conclusion is strange. ברוך אתו עד השם, not a nation תאיר עולם ישראל, and the one is תאיר עולם ישראל. The Almighty Himself is involved in the Masora community. He Himself passes on, transmits, teaches. So that's why the Birkas HaTorah emphasizes, and we pray that the word of the Torah be sweet in our mouth, in the mouth of our children, and the whole community, grandfather, father, grandson, great-grandson, we could all together, all of them, know by name and study the Torah with them. And that's why Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu, when the before there was no need to say, to pronounce Birkas HaTorah. Before Avodim HaYidu, because you did not speak of the mitzvah of what? You spoke of Sipo Yitzias Mitzrayim. When you start with Avodim HaYidu, before I tell you, Shom Yot Chazok Israel Yitzir, you know, Yitzir, Vilo Leitza Kishmur Yitzir Mitzrayim Aronu, Vanenu Vdei Vanenu Mishu Avodim HaYidu, before Mitzrayim, Vanenu Vdei Vanenu Mishu Avodim HaYidu, Vanenu Vdei Vanenu Mishu Avodim HaYidu, you don't speak about teaching, you speak about telling, about narrating, or at best about studying. You don't speak about Masorah, you speak about the second aspect, but not about the third aspect, that mitzvahs, Godoy expresses itself in teaching, in passing on, in turning over, in transmitting, in letting somebody share my knowledge. You don't say it. When do you begin to say it? When are you ready to say it? When you are ready to pick up the third aspect? With the story of the four sons, to make it a word on the water, we got all the info. But you know who I am. So it means that we are ready to fulfill or to implement not only the mitzvah of Talmud, of Tlimud Tere, but Talmud Tere of teaching and passing on and letting others share in our knowledge. So. ומי אנחנו וצאצאינו וצאצאי עמך בית ישראל. That's why we remember that in order that it's worthwhile to make to say a broche, a benediction, for the great privilege that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon us, not only to know the Torah and to study it for ourselves, but to teach it to others, and particularly to be a member of the Masorah community. It's a great and strange community. It begins with Meshe Kibbutei Rami Sinai in Sora Yeshua. It will never end. Once you are going to join that community, so you have to pronounce which benediction? Birkas HaTorah. That's why you say it in an abbreviated form, namely Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu, Baruch Shmos Anteo Nami Yisrael. And we are going to continue. Keneged Abor Banim Dirotech. Now, so how many aspects did you recover? Who's with the math? All right. First aspect was the first aspect. Reading, technical reading. One was not blessed with a great mind. One had no opportunity to study. One came from a different background. Was not provided with necessary knowledge, which is required for a study in depth. He can also participate and share in the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is the first aspect. What is it? Just to read. Who cannot read? Everybody can read. It's simple. Second aspect. Limit for yourself. Understanding. Explore in depth. Analyzing. The third aspect is the great privilege which was granted to us to join the community of the Masorah community of which the Almighty is a member. Would you like to join that community? Don't have to pay any dues. Now we have the fourth, yes? You have to do fourth aspect. There is something else in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in the structure of the Agoda, which is relevant. Regarding the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, The form of narration, the way we tell this story, avails itself of a dialogue, say a mark, so forth, of a dialogue. One asks, another person answers. The whole recital, basically the whole recital of the Agote, is a response to one. Because to four questions which were addressed to the people by a young child, a naive child. Well, without the Manish Tami, you cannot start. You cannot start Agode from Agode Mayim. There is no one to ask, so there is no need for an answer. The whole recital responds to the four questions asked by the child. Apart Agode from Agode Mayim. There is no one to ask, so there is no need for an answer. The whole disciple responds to the four questions asked by the child. Now a question, the fifth question, arises. Why is it necessary? Why is it necessary to dramatize that the child should ask? And we try to stimulate the child, the curiosity of the child, in order to make him ask. The child is sleeping, he's hungry. But we try to make him ask. Why is it necessary? We got it all of you, of course, why you came, why you came. So why did it ever require this kind of dramatic conversation, of dialogue, of asking? Of dialogue, of asking and answering. Of inquiring and responding. Why was it necessary? I believe that this law is not yet by basic idea. God reveals to man only if man searches for him. If one is not inquisitive, if one expects God to reveal himself without making an all-out effort to find him, he will never meet God. וביקשתם משום ומוצא סו כסדרי כמו ביקשתם משום עשה לשם הלקחו ומוצא סו כסדרי שנו בכל לבו בכל ובכל נפשכו. From thence you will seek the Lord and thou shalt find him if thou search after him with all thy might, with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Nachmanides, in his comments on the verse, Rishichnei Tidrashu, Bosa Shama, his habitation, they shall seek, and thither thou shalt come, says the following, Shetelchu leim eretz merchakim, Vetishalu, Ayi derech beis harishem. You should come to me, the Almighty says, from distant land, and you should inquire Where is the road leading to God's habitation? The searching for this sanctuary, the curiosity to know where the sanctuary is per se a great experience, redeeming and sanctifying. The curiosity hallows the effort of man and makes the pilgrimage meaningful. When Yisra asked Moses, "What do the people do in your place the whole day?" Yisra didn't understand. Yisra had, I mean, like a clergyman, he had asked for receiving a congregant. But when he saw that Moshe spent the whole day with the people, he asked, what did the people do in your place? Or what are you doing for the people? Ma'ato Yisra Omazeh. What did Moshe answer? The first answer, I gave him a few answers. But the first answer, but I want verbatim quotation. The people come to me because they search for God. The people are God thirsty, God intoxicated. They want to find God. They search for God and they want guidance from me. The first night of Pesach, we have tried to stimulate the curiosity of the child. We have tried to make him inquisitive. And we want, because the story of Mitzrayim is a story of a long search on the part of many generations for God, who finally find it. He will come close to us. And we want the child to join this march of the Masorah community. And how can a child join this march if not by asking questions during the night, during the Seder? To arouse the naive curiosity of a child is like making a child a God searcher. What is more beautiful than that? So now aspect number, what's the number now?
Five.
Aspect number five. What is Agada here? A search for God. Just a minute, let's recount. Let's imagine those are bellows. Let's recount. Technical reading. One, next. Study. Three. Masero. Four. Search of God. Four, not fifth. We don't mislead me. Not the whole time. To search for God, not only to find God. God will never reveal himself if a person is not inquisitive and doesn't search for it. Now, aspect number five. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the whole Seder, is structured around, I am afraid to say the last word. Around what? What would you suggest? Structured around, revolves around what? Pseudo. A meal. Nothing sensational. A meal. The framework within which the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is attained and fully realized is a plain Sudas Yom Tov. a meal, a holiday meal. You want me to prove it? Or you'll believe me, I have to prove that. Because this is a great, they call it chiddush, even though it's simple. The first act at a Seder is, you know what, how you begin the Seder. It's Kiddush, correct? Kaddish, correct? Remember that. The first act, the Kiddush, is an integral part of Sipo Yitzias Mitzrayim. I want you to understand that Sipo Yitzias Mitzrayim and Pesach Mai begins with the Kiddush and concludes with what? With the broche of the Shtabach. Melech Tilchei Olamim or Melech Mulo Batish Boches. The bench in Birkes Hamozen Pesach Mai is not the ordinary Birkes Hamozen of an ordinary Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. It is a Birk, the Birkes Hamozen is an integral part of the Sipo Yitzias Mitzrayim. I'll explain it to you. And so is the Kiddush. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says that we must not recite the Kiddush prior to Shkia, to sunset. Even though we are ready to postpone the drinking of the wine until after nightfall. It's not the drinking of the wine, as the Magen Avraham wants to interpret, but the recital of the Kiddush. This itself is the first act of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why? Apparently the Kiddush and Pesach night has a double connotation, double meaning. It is Kiddush because Pesach night is a holiday, is a little yonder, and it is incumbent upon us to recite Kiddush, to usher in the Shabbos by the recital of Kiddush, the Shabbos and Yom Tov. And secondly, the Kiddush itself is a part of Sipo Yitzias Mitzrayim. First of all, the Kiddush is considered as a part of Sipo Yitzias Mitzrayim. And I would say that's very simple to explain. Why? What do you say? I beg your pardon? Yes? You said something, I didn't catch it. What? No. What difference is it? Correct. Yeah. Which course is it? Supposed to be. No. Oh, if you meant this way, say you're wrong. No. Because the Ashaboch Abom Nikolom is the third expression of freedom, of redemption, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe, to the Kach Testum Vilaom, when the Ehe Lachem Lulikim. The Dalit is hence, and this is basically the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So before we start telling the story of the events in Yitzias Mitzrayim, we declare right away that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has fulfilled his promise and chose us as a covenantal community and as a separate, unique nation. This is number one, correct? This is number one. But there is another reason, I believe the second reason is the true one. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim Pesach Night is implemented through two ways of implementation. I mean, both are necessary, are indispensable. One medium is what? What medium is it? Correct? Word. Spoken word.
This is Agada, Agada. Second, if you said it first, you mentioned it first, let me hear it. Through eating, through consuming food, simply, very strange. Because Pesach, Matzah and Morer, eating a Pesach, Matzah and Morer, I mean, pursues actually two objectives on Pesach and Ach. Namely, one objective, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pesach, Matzah and Morer. Be'erev tichlu matzis, vochles aposa balayla ze, o matzim reirim yichlu. Second, the eating of Pesach, Matzah and Morer is an instrument or a medium of Tzipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. We tell the story by eating Pesach, Matzah and Morer. Not only by using the human gift of speech, the spoken word, but by acting like a natural being and eating those particular, religious articles, I mean, symbolic food items, who won't fulfill the mitzvah of Tzipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Who said it? Rabbi Soloveitchik said it, so you don't listen. Who said it? Rabbi Gamliel, of course. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Gamliel in his statement, Kol Shel Roma Afle Shedvore Meilu Bapesach, Leyotzei Vechavosei, as it is stated, I mean, that the eating of Pesach Matzah Morer is a part of what? Is a part of Tzipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. You can tell a story by using your vocabulary, you can tell a story by doing something. And you do tell the story of Mitzrayim in two ways. By speaking, by speech, and by acting. Acting in the sense of eating. And Rabbi Gamliel, what did Rabbi Gamliel add? That before you eat Pesach, Matzah, Morer, you should interpret their symbolic significance, connotation, what they symbolize, Pesach, Matzah, and Morer. In other words, Tzipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a blend of storytelling, Torah teaching, and partaking of a meal. A funny blend. A combination of the spoken word and a physiological function, such as eating. Tzude, Pesach night, means an intermingling of physical pleasure with Torah debate. You don't want to debate, all right? Of an activity which is motivated by biological pressure and which is not characteristic of men at all. It's an animal activity. This is one medium, one part of Tzipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the other part consists of God's Word. Combination of both is the story of Tzipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Combination of both represents Tzipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to perfection. And Kiddush ushers in the Suda Shabbos and Yom Tov, or every Shabbos. You must not eat before Kiddush. Why? Why? One must not eat before Kiddush. Why? Because before Kiddush, whatever you eat before Kiddush will belong to Suda Shabbos. And the Jew is enjoined from consuming the Suda Shabbos on Shabbos. As simple as that. Then you know the halacha, you all know the halacha, in Kiddush or in Kim Surah. Why is it so? That if I say Kiddush, and the Kiddush is not followed by a meal, so the Kiddush is meaningless. Because the function of the Kiddush is to usher in the Surah Shabbos. This is the introduction to Surah Shabbos. If Kiddush is not recited, whatever a Jew eats and consumes is nothing but crumbs from the Surah Shabbos. And the Jew is obligated or enjoined to eat Shabbos exclusively a Surah Shabbos. I'm not speaking about Shor, I want you to know. Kiddush makes the Surah a Surah Shabbos. And Sipur, Yitzias, Mitzrayim, and Pesach night is a combination of Agode and Surah. I would rather think that Agode is structured and revolves around Surah. The frame of reference is Surah. They understand very well. So Sipur, Yitzias, Mitzrayim consists not only of a mirror bedvori, of speaking, of saying, of pronouncing, of using my deep speech, which God bestowed upon me. But by a combination of the spoken word and physiological activity, which is being raised and elevated to great heights, by being combined with the spoken word of God. As a matter of fact, let me interject, I could have omitted it. Sude as a service, Sude as a service to God, or Sude in the presence of God, to eat in the presence of God, are central ideas in Judaism. Judaism wanted to achieve to create an institution which prima facie is absurd, that man is obligated to eat in the presence of God. That eating, consuming food is a holy function, a meaningful performance. It's something great to eat if it is done and practiced properly. And that is, for instance, a verse like Vayomer Aaron lechol zikne Yisroel, Le'echol lechem im chesed meshe lifnei Elokim, that Aaron and the elders of Israel came to eat bread in the presence of God. Or such verses like Vachalto lifnei Adeshem lekecho were so completely alien and the border from the paradoxical, as far as the Greek civilization was concerned. In the Greek civilization, you have legends about Diogenes, who used to hide himself when he ate, because eating is an animal function, and a man should not exhibit animality. I mean, Aristotle couldn't understand, how can you serve God with your stomach? You serve God with your mind. Jacob Schiff, when he once visited the Yeshivas Rabbitz Palchona, and walked in into Rabbi Aronovitz's room, he was saying a shir in Yeredeya. The old timers still remember him. So Jacob Schiff asked the guide, what is the old man saying? What is he teaching them? So he told him, it was about Melicha, how to solve me. So he said, I don't support institutions, religious institutions which are interested in the stomach. Of course, the first chelak of Yeredeya's interest concerns with the stomach, not with the abdomen, no question about it. But this is the greatness of Yahrus. To teach the stomach or the human body to behave in the presence of God is more difficult than to teach the mind to behave properly in the presence of God. If you start with the mind, you'll fail. If you start with the body, you may succeed. And whoever knows the expressions Shulchan Ishal Adam Echaper, as the table is like the Mizbeach, which grants atonement to the person who eats it, will understand what it means, what the word Tzudek means or denotes. And around that Tzudek is the whole Seder structure, and Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim as a mitzvah was integrated into the Tzudek, into the institution of Tzudek. Now, what is it nowadays? What's the number? 50. It's not according to my sheet, so. Of course, you'll take the second aspect, Limud. The third aspect, Masero. The second aspect, Limud. The third aspect, Masero. The fourth aspect, search of God by the child. Of course, all those aspects don't apply to Mikrobikoyim. They are typical, even though Mikrobikoyim is involved with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, as far as the pilgrim is concerned, was a simple act, reading and that's all, consisted of reading and that's all. Limud Masero, search of God, is typical and characteristic exclusively of Yagod and Pesach Mayim. Now let's pick up the fifth aspect of the Yagod, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Fifth. Or you count again. Oh yeah, here is the fifth, correct. Sixth. So I made a mistake. Even though both Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Pesach, and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim by the Mevi Bikurim, by the pilgrim, are rooted in Akoras Teiva, as I stated before. The ways in which gratitude is expressed by the pilgrim and by the Jew Pesach night differ from each other. Mikrobikurim consists of shalach, or expressing thanks. Agode consists not only of shalach, but of shiro as well. What's the difference between shalach and shiro? Because it's an element which was completely overlooked by the Meforshei Agoda. They identified Shiro v'Shelach. That's completely wrong. No, I'm... What? Shelach is what? No. If you'll be less philosophical, it would help. Ah? Just over there. Would you guys? There was a song. What? What has we planned? Shira is spontaneous. You are right. Shira is spontaneous. But it's still... But you didn't answer my question. I might apologize later. In Mikrobikurim, The precept of gratitude is fulfilled indirectly by telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are no special words of praise. There are no explicit words of praise. In Arami Vidovni, from the beginning to the end, there is not a single word which we use in order to express our thanks, our indebtedness to the Almighty. All we do, what do we do in Arami Vidovni? And it's the way the pilgrim used to say. All the pilgrim used to do was what? Describe the facts, narrate the story of the events which happened. All addenda were superfluous. The duty of a chorus tailor was discharged by describing the events. This is considered Shevach or Hallel. What do you say about it? Is it a chorus tailor? All one is supposed to do. Was supposed to do, when the pilgrim came to the Beis Hamikdash, who was to tell the truth, nothing else. What happened? I understand. There was implicit shevach, implicit word of praise, in the descriptive, in the narrative about events. Correct. I would like you to quote me a Gemara. Yes, you are right. What? If you don't tell the story, it's bad. Of course, bad. There was no need for extra words of praise. All the Torah wanted the pilgrim to do is to tell the truth. And the praise is implicit in the truth. Correct? Now, yes. It's a Gemara, yes, what's a Gemara? No, it's too long for me. When the Gemara asks the question, why is there no Hallel on Purim? What did the Gemara answer? To read the story, Megillas Esther, is the highest praise. There are no words of praise to the Almighty in the Megillah. You just read the story, you understand the story, and by reading and understanding the story, you understand that God supervises the events and He is responsible for the salvation. This itself is like equals praise and glorification. This is kind of Kriyosu's rule, which the Talmud applies to Megillah. In other words, thanksgiving is implicit in the narration itself. But on the night of Pesach, are we satisfied with just with the descriptive story? Or certainly not. On the night of Pesach, the Shevach expresses itself explicitly in words of praise. We narrate the whole story. Yet we are not satisfied with implicit praise. We sing a hymn. Here I come to your spontaneity. We sing a hymn. We recite Hallel. We say particularly Shiro Chadosh. And in Israel, I apologize to him now. And Shiro Chadosh means spontaneous. I don't ask whether it is necessary or unnecessary. Perhaps a description just of the events would be modest praise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need Hallel, nor does he require of a person, to sing to him a hymn, sing a hymn to him. But on Pesach night, the Jew is not only grateful, he is overflowing with great gratitude. It is a night of ecstasy. For when man is God intoxicated, it's the night of Anila Deidi Vedeidili, where you say Shirashirim Pesach night. Shirashirim is the motto of the holiday of Pesach, of the 7-8 days of Pesach. It is the romance, I mean, Pesach initiated the romance between God and the community. Maimonides was asked, he objected to the practice, but he asked, what right do you have? What right do you have to praise God and to cite many attributes of God? Who is man? Foolish man. Does foolish man have a right to praise the Almighty? Does man, as Maimonides calls him, Shayim Kan Umocho Bekever, today is Rabbi Mezakai had applied the same title to man. Shayim Kan Umocho Bekever, today is here and tomorrow in grave, foolish, I mean limited. What right does he have to sing a hymn to God? My mind is objected to the Shira Yichud and Shira Kovetz. So what did the Pythonim answer him? What did Chassidim answer my mind? Exactly. You ask for license? I'll tell you where the license is. Philosophically, we have no license. Philosophically, it is an arrogance. It's an arrogant act. It's impudent and insolent on the part of man to say of God, okay, la Godel, give an error. What right do you have to say? Do you understand what Godel is? Do you have access to the Almighty? But the license is to be found in our inability to suppress our longing for God and our desire to praise Him. And men must sing a hymn to God. The hymn is foolish, yes, from intellectual viewpoint, it's absurd. But we cannot suppress, we cannot remain passive. We have to sing, no matter how foolish it is. Anila Deidi Vedeidi Li. As for Pesach night, the Jew asks no questions. He's overflowing with love, with gratitude. It's not enough to describe events. He does describe, and I run a bit of it. But when it comes to the fourth cup, he feels it. And throws off all control, so to say. And begins to say, Hallel, 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 Agol, and Nishmas Tochai, Tvorach, Shimcha, Hashem, Rekim. Of course, Mikra Bikurim is just descriptive. The words of praise are implicit in the descriptive narration, while Pesach night, the words of praise, I mean, are spontaneous and explicit. Jew sings a hymn to God, whether he is qualified to do so or not, no questions asked. He has to do it because he must do it. You know the old saying, du kannst, weil du musst. Now, what aspect? What aspect is now? We're up to 7 days. 7, right. V'hilu le'etzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es ha'reseinu m'mitzroyim ha'riyonu v'nei v'neinu m'shubodim o'yinu l'fari b'mitzroyim. Do you recognize the sentence? Do you identify the sentence? All right, where is it? Where is it? The Megillah, where is it? No, I want to know. At the beginning of the Agoda. Good. Next, we repeat the same sentence, of course, using different words, but the same idea. The Choldeil Vodeil Chayavodom Viris Satsmei Kilo Yotzom Mitzrayim Shinema Veison Re'etzim Eishor. Do you recognize this sentence? Huh? If I were to give an exam here, to identify certain states, certain sentences. How many would fail? חובר בדרך העבוד המזכס את עצמי, כי הוא יוצא ממצרים. שמנה ועיסון והיצי משם. ובואו איזה? אין דה עבוד היית. לא, פוס על פיר. אז הוא נקבור את המגילה את זה. כן, דייס בפה פסח, אז הוא נקבור את המגילה. But where is it, Nagode? After we conclude the parsha Sarami Evidovi, when we are about what? To start Hallel, saying Hallel. So we insert the Becholdeo Vadeo Chayimodam Leros Atzmei, Kilo Yotam Mitzrayim. This is second. There's a third quotation, it's similar. V'yish yomdol ha-viseinu v'lonu, shloechot bovado v'gulenu l'chaloseinu v'akadish borchu ma'atzoreinu v'yodom. Do you recognize this sentence? Yes, right. Let's analyze those three sentences. The first we make right at the beginning of the recital. Correct? V'yilu ha-yitzi ha-kadish borchu shaloseinu v'mitzroyim. הרי עונו בנינו ובני בנינו משיבות ואינו לקרב במצרים. In order we make it, זה גבר הבגינים גם זה הגודם. גבר הבגינים, you just start when you start מצרים, and right away you say, יציאס מצרים is not an event to which occurred 3,500 years ago. No, it's important. It says relevant to us. Why do we say it? In order to explain our interest. In events which occurred long ago. It is worthwhile. What question do you want to answer by making this statement? What question do you want to answer by making this statement? What's the question? What? Irrelevance. Who is interested? If you tell a story, people have got to be interested in this story. Who is interested what happened 3,500 years ago? I'm not interested in what happened today, this morning. I certainly have no interest in events which transpired 3,500 years ago or more. So what is the answer? No, you have to be concerned with it. They can merit your interest, your concern, because they are relevant to us. If not Gulas Mitzrayim, no Jewish people would have come into existence. הריונו ובנינו ובני בנינו משובדים עלינו בפער במצרים. That means it is relevant to us. Since it's relevant, what does it merit? If it's relevant, what does it merit? It's start of curiosity. It's got to be recorded and told. Which event is recorded in history and which event is not recorded in history? Relevant events, not only for the people, for contemporaries, but for future generations. And that's exactly what we say. The events which you are going to narrate are very relevant to us. Because if those events hadn't taken place, the whole Jewish community would not have come into existence. The second declaration, what's the second declaration? Chaldo avado, chayvodom liros atzmi kilo yotzo mitzrayim. What do you say in the second declaration? You're correct, but what do you say? It's correct, you're right, but what do you say? The second declaration you make after the conclusion of the narrative part of the Agada, when we are ready to begin the recital of Hallel. The reading of Chaldeo, precedes Lefichoch and the recital of Hallel, correct? In this declaration we state that events which transpired so many years ago are not only relevant to us, as we said at the beginning of the recital, but that they are a part of our historical experience. There's a difference between being relevant and being experienced. Here we stress the uniqueness of our relationship to the past our intimacy with the past and our retrospective experiencing or re-experiencing of such events which transpired at the dawn of our history. The Jew has a capability to experience history. Because if the Jew had that capability to experience history, why is he fighting for Eretz Israel, for the State of Israel? He feels very close to that state, to those sites, to the Kislam Marovitz, to the Moras and Machpelah, to Yehuda Veshemra, and he pronounces Yehuda Veshemra, so what's so great about Yehuda Veshemra? There's a certain intimacy with the past that the Jew feels, and he's unique in that regard. It is the ability to re-experience in retrospect events which took place so long ago. And that's what entitles us not only to be concerned and to record events and to tell about them, but to what else? To say hello, to sing, to dance, to say Tfilah Kadoshah as if the events happened just yesterday, as if I had witnessed the events. Now, what is the third declaration? So you have two declarations. So one declaration is related to relevance. The second declaration is related to war, to re-experiencing, or retrospection, historical retrospection. What's the third declaration? Yeah, I know the declaration. Yes. Yeah, what? All right. The third declaration, Vishwamdo, introduces a completely new aspect. Namely, new motif. Namely, what motif? That's what I'm asking. I didn't ask you before. Yeah, what do you want to say? Yes. What motif is it? I want a name here. I want a label here. Amalek motif. What is Amalek? Not a has-been, but who is present everywhere, and whose defeat will usher in into the eschatological era. In Hashem Sholei Machi Mochi Zareh Shol Amalek. Before the two declarations, from Hilulei Eitzi and Cholzei Avodeh, one deals with relevance, the other deals with re-experiencing. But re-experiencing when? In the past. It's a past event. Both declarations speak of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as an event in the past. One declaration says it is relevant to us, the second declaration says we experienced it. But still, the events lie in the past. Not in the present. We celebrate Pesach and we observe the Seder and the Seder Agode in order to memorialize what? An event in the past. It is remembrance. Living remembrance, but just remembrance. And Vishomdo Lavisena Velon, which Mayachot Bovade introduces an Amalek motif. Those events, they occurred 3,500 years ago, you say. Just yesterday. Just before yesterday. Last year. We are not sure that it wouldn't occur tomorrow morning. And a week from now, and a year from now, and a century from now. The whole day over there. Every generation is confronted by a Pharaoh. And I must tell you, the Pharaoh in Egypt was in next month going. The Pharaohs of today are by far worse. In every generation, this is the Amalek motif. In every generation, there is somebody who is possessed by psychopathic, cruel, bloodthirsty hate And the target of hate are we, Jewish people. We celebrate the festival not because we remember, not because we re-experience, but because